ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And the truth seems to go on foot, doesn't it? And it really does if you think about it, because that's how we bring the gospel message. We love, you know, we love the big stadiums where filled 30,000, 50,000 people that we could share the gospel with. Wonderful. But what about that one individual who's walking down the street? What about them? And that's how Jesus did it. Wherever he went, people came to him. And I think the reason so many Christians are susceptible to deception is because they're letting their experience be self-authenticating. What do I mean by that? Well, think of it like this. If the experience is positive and the results are good and beneficial, then the experience must be from God, because they reason the devil doesn't want to do good for us. So if it's a positive experience, the results are good, it's got to be of God. You're going to be in trouble if that's how you're discerning. If sin or false teaching only brought about bad things, no one would buy into it, right? I mean, imagine, I don't know, eating some fruit that was rotten. You know right away it's bad. You're not going to eat it. The devil never starts out that way. You know, it's deceptive. It seems so good. It seems so right. Oh, God must have brought this other woman into my life because he knows the situation I'm in at home. And he brought this woman into my life to make me happy. You know how many Christians buy into that lie? You see, he entices you with something good, just like a worm on a hook for a fish. It looks pretty awesome. I wouldn't bite into a worm, but you know what I mean. And all of a sudden, he takes a bite, and what happens is he's hooked. Don't put yourself in situations that are going to cause you to get hooked. It's a party. They have a little cocaine, just one sniff. What's the big deal? It's a huge deal, and you're hooked. For some, it's alcohol. One more drink. Another, and you're hooked. We got to be careful. People get hooked on false teaching and false doctrine. And we, again, see these lies coming into the church today. And the only way to expose them is by the truth that's found in God's Word. And it's so simple then. You just hold it up to the light of God's Word and exposes if it's true or not. And if it's darkness, it'll be exposed. In fact, Jesus said in John 8, verses 31 and 32, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Wow. John 17, 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true." We have to contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us, like Jude warned us. And we see how this has played out in the lives of these false teachers, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. They willingly embrace falsehood to justify their sin or their pride or whatever. If they teach the Bible, they twist the scriptures to support their own ideas and agendas. And if they're saying that if you deny yourself, you'll draw closer to God, that idea of asceticism or denying your physical body to draw close to God has been around for thousands of years. I'll give you an example. In the early centuries of the church, there were monks who went out to desolate desert places to show how spiritual they were by torturing themselves. One never ate cooked food. Another stood all night leaning on a sharp rock so that it was impossible for him to sleep. Another neglected his own body and allowed it to become so dirty that bugs dropped dead from his body. Wow, that had to be pretty bad. They did this because they thought it would win favor with God and show everyone how spiritual they were. If bugs are dropping dead by your presence, take a bath, man. You know, it doesn't draw you closer to God. You can understand why they lived in isolation. No one wanted to be around them. Wow. But think about this. Let's intelligently think about this. Does that cause God to love you more? Oh, thank you for denying yourself and sticking so much you're killing insects. No, not at all. And here's the thing. Listen to what Paul said about God's love for us in Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. This is God's love for us. The other stuff, you're not drawing closer to God by. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There it is. In fact, Paul's listing all these things, and he goes, I don't know, any other created thing. If you can think of something else, understand it. It is not going to be able to separate you from the love of Christ, because Jesus loves you more than you will ever know. He died for you when you were still a sinner. And now that you're a child of God, do you think he said, well, you know, I don't like you too much today? No, are you kidding? That love, that unconditional love, is so rich and so deep. We are his children. He's not going to forsake us. And, you know, you think about this. Look at the legalism in the cults today. You got the Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. They think they're Christian, and they end up teaching doctrines of demons. And when you look at religions today in general, not just Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, look at what they teach about Jesus. They deny his deity. He was a good person. He was a good teacher. He was a prophet. He was a good man. All kinds of things. He was the brother of Lucifer or whatever. He's a lesser god. But they never will tell you that he is Almighty God. Why? Because it is the truth. And the devil will bring you that close with that lie. It's not a million miles away on some of this. It's very close. What about those that call themselves Christians and yet speak against what the Bible's teaching? And, you know, you speak to them, you show them the scripture. You know, look, that doesn't make any sense. Look at what the Bible says. And they ignore it. Why? Because they're not saved and they don't have the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they're not interested in the truth. I believe it's in Jeremiah. If you seek me, you will find me. If you search for me with all your heart. I guarantee you, I don't care who you are and what you have done in your life. If you are not a believer and you are seeking God, God, I need to know that you are real. He will reveal himself to you. But if you're not interested in the truth, he'll let you continue on. That's just the way it is. Their hearts have been hardened. They're cold. They're insensitive to the things of God. In fact, here in 1 Timothy 4, the Greek word for seared speaks of cauterizing, that there's no feeling anymore. Over the last, 35 years, been sticking myself for my blood sugars in my fingers. And you lose some sensation in that because you're deadening the nerves. Someone who gets burned on their fingers, you deaden those nerve cells and you can't feel as much anymore. And so they have this no more feeling, right, wrong. No guilt, no remorse. And when you read what abominations are being taught today in the church, what they're promoting, and they're proud of their doctrines of demons they're promoting, they don't see it that way. You know, it seems so obvious to us, right? Why? Why does it so obvious to us? Because we have the Word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God. That's the only reason. I'll share this with you. It was an interview several years back with Brian McLaren, and the whole idea, he questioned the idea of God sending his son to a violent death. He called it false advertising for God. Now, this is the crucifixion. This is Jesus going to the cross to pay in full the penalty for our sins, and now he's saying, has God indeed said, or this was false advertising for God. So one of the huge problems is the traditional understanding of hell. Because if the cross is in line with Jesus' teaching, then I won't say the only, and I certainly won't say even the primary, but a primary meaning of the cross is that the kingdom of God doesn't come like the kingdoms of this world by inflicting violence and coercing people, but that the kingdom of God comes through suffering and willing voluntary sacrifice. But in an ironic way, the doctrine of hell basically says, no, that's not really true. That in the end, God gets his way through coercion and violence and intimidation and domination, just like every other kingdom does. The cross isn't the center then. The cross is almost a distraction and false advertising for God. Isn't that interesting? He's saying God is destroying people's lives. He's going to get people to either come into the kingdom of God by frightening them and scaring them and coercing them, or he's just going to destroy them. Well, I don't know. Have you read what the Bible has to say, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? That doesn't sound like a very nasty, mean God, but a very loving God who came to save sinful man. Marcus Borg, he's has God indeed said, I guess. He has a book, The God We Never Knew. Well, obviously, you know it's not a biblical or scriptural one. And his views on God, the Bible, and Christianity were transformed while he was in seminary. Wow. I let go of the notion that the Bible is a divine product. Push it aside. I learned that it is a human cultural product, the product of two ancient communities, biblical Israel and early Christianity. As such, it contained their understanding and affirmations, not statements coming directly or somewhat directly from God. I realized that whatever divine revelation and the inspiration of the Bible meant, if they meant anything, they did not mean that the Bible was a divine product with divine authority. And that explains how he could say, Jesus almost certainly was not born of a virgin, did not think of himself as the Son of God, and did not see his purpose as dying for the sins of the world. Got that in seminary, I guess. So is that a true gospel? No, that's a false gospel. That's a doctrine of demon. That is leading people into a religious belief and not Christianity, not a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, all I can think of is what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And as I've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Why did he repeat it twice? Because it was so important. He didn't want you to miss it or to read over it. It's a warning. If it's another gospel, another Jesus denying the scriptures, they're not of God. Get away from them. Now, that's just a small sampling of the dangerous things that are out there. And don't embrace them. Don't be taken in by them. How do we do that? Well, Paul in Ephesians 4, verses 18 and 19 put it like this. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, had given themselves over to lewdness to work all unclean cleanliness with greediness. They're beyond feeling, so why are you listening to them? Stay away from them. Avoid them. You know, Paul's also talking about abstaining from certain foods. Why is that important? Well, they were doing it to win favor with God. If I don't eat the pork chop, God will love me more. I don't know. Do you really think eating a salad will make you more spiritual than if you have a Big Mac? No, I mean, you could eat whatever you want. And I eat salads. I like them. I just wait till they're processed by the cow. And then it's a processing thing. I don't see what's wrong with that. But, you know, here's the thing. Abstaining from certain foods, if you want to do it, praise God, do it. But don't think God's going to love you more by doing it. That's the key. It's a personal thing. And people are on all kinds of diets and have all kinds of likes and dislikes. Praise God, man. You can eat whatever you want. But again, it doesn't make you more spiritual. Paul in Colossians 2 said, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Just be careful what you're getting into. You know, Calvin said the contrary is not about flesh or fish or about black or ashen colors or about Wednesday or Friday, but about the mad superstitions of men who wish to obtain God's favor by such trifles and by contriving a carnal worship. Invent for themselves an idol in God's place. Yeah. Don't be carried away by these things. And Paul said, you know, every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. There's the key. You know, what if you were in, you know, some foreign country where the food that they presented to you, you were afraid to even look at? Pray, Lord, help me to not offend these people and to make this food palatable to me. That's just the way it is. So the last day's departing, we are going to look at, lastly, freedom and truth. Look at verses 4 and 5 here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified or set apart by the word of God and prayer. Freedom and truth. You know, why do we take what God says is good and make it evil? Again, you know, if God has laid something on your heart not to do, don't do it. Where it gets wrong is when you say, thou shalt not do this then. And so it's a command for everyone. Hey, if I can't eat it, neither can you. No. If that God put that on your heart, praise God. Obey him. But it's not a law for everyone. You know, again, Clark put it like this. He said, both among the pagans, Jews, and Romanists, certain meats were prohibited. Some always, others at particular times. This, the apostle informs us, was directly contrary to the original design of God, and says that those who know the truth know this. Yeah. What did it say in Genesis 9:3? Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. So after the sin, God says, okay, just like you ate all the vegetables before and the fruit and all that, now you can have some meat. Nothing's hidden. Well, then why did God tell Moses what they can eat and what they can't? Well, God was speaking specifically to the Jewish people, and he was giving laws to protect them from harm, to keep them from practicing what the pagan world was practicing. They were his special people. Today, we can eat whatever we want. How about sexual desires? Some people just go, oh, sex is just for procreation. Anything more is a sin. Are you kidding me? God's given us this desire, and I praise him for that. In fact, in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. Wow. Here's the problem. God has given us something good, and this is how Satan works now. God gives us something that is really good, and Satan perverts it. There's nothing wrong with having sex outside of marriage. There is nothing wrong with playing around with other women. There's nothing wrong with having sex with the same-sex partner. And on the perversions go. Because God's given us what is good, what is best for our lives. And Satan goes, no, I've got something better for you. And it's not. It's something that is more destructive to us. How do I know that? Because Paul goes on to say, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. You're going to be judged by God for your actions. And here's the thing. If you're unsure of a situation that you're in, something that you're doing, bring what you're doing before God, and he'll show you what's good and what's not. Be in his word. And there is a departing from the faith that began in the early church. It's growing more and more today, as we've talked about. And it's because we didn't heed the warnings that God has given to us in his word. The Holy Spirit explicitly or expressly says that at a later time some will depart from the faith. There's the warning. But remember what Jesus said. We use this verse in John 8. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. there. And this relationship with Jesus is not just about information. It's a relationship with him, and that love for Jesus is seen in our obedience to him. And you, once you know the truth, it sets you free from all the lies that are out there. You shouldn't be deceived. I'll give you an example. Before I was saved, I was an evolutionist. I believed everything came from nothing and just evolved over billions of years. Man, just saying that makes me cringe because it shows that I wasn't thinking at all. And when I came to Christ, when I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, everything changed, including my views on evolution. And evolution is easy to disprove. How can everything come from nothing? Have absolutely nothing. I told you before, I wish my bank account worked like that. Have absolutely nothing in it, and now look at it. Wow, it's great. It doesn't work. How can information keep gaining information that it never had before? How can asexual reproduction evolve into reproduction between a male and female? It can't. Do we ever ask the question, how did this two sexes come to be? Did they evolve with their parts all at the same time? What if man evolved first? He'd die out. That first man that had all the reproductive stuff, he's gone. He can't reproduce. How many millions of years for the woman? And if you think about it, when a woman conceives, she has a foreign body inside her. That foreign body should be destroyed, but God has made it so that it doesn't. Not evolution. God has done this. I formed your inward parts, God says. How does the whole universe have order to it, so much order that the scientific principles apply to it, to everything? Random chance, no. And we could spend, this is just, how does the eye work? You know, we see things upside down and the brain's got to turn it around. And Mickey and I were talking that they did this experiment with people where they gave them glasses that put everything upside down. And after a short period of time, their brain put it right side up. When they took those glasses off again over time, their brains restored it. How does that happen? God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything else just came into place. The truth has set me free. Sanctified by the truth, your word is truth. It's pretty simple. And we need to be able to trust God. It's called the sanctification process. The moment we're justified, sanctification begins. And it continues on until we go to be with the Lord. He's working in our lives. But there is such a danger out there today of these deceiving spirits, these doctrines of demons coming into the church and into our lives. The last day is departing. A departing from the truths of God found in the Word of God. But we have freedom in Christ. We don't have to be deceived. And apostasy is an ever-present danger to the church. We need to pay attention. Hebrews 13:9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is God that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Yeah, strange doctrines. And it seems like when people get strange doctrines, they love it because it's strange. This is something new. Wow. And they share it and they spread it. And people gravitate to it. I'll tell you what. There is the greatest book, and it's so inspired. This teaching and that teaching, they tell us, is amazing. You won't believe what this person has to say. And I look at it and I go, yeah, I don't believe it. I don't. You see, there is the greatest book ever written. The greatest book. And I hold it dear to my life because apart from it, I don't know what truth is anymore. I was talking with someone the other day. And we're like, how do we know truth anymore? I mean, what people sometimes say looks so good. And then you find out, well, that wasn't true. But this is truth. Don't depart from it. And I read other books, don't get me wrong. But they're not inspired, only the Bible is. So don't be taken in by these apostates. Draw close to God, and he's going to draw close to you. Don't be frustrated about the days we're living in. Be excited. Why? Because God has placed you in this day, in this period of time, to be his witness to a world that's in turmoil. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And we thank you for the warnings, Lord. It would be very difficult to have all this stuff happening and not knowing, not being warned of the danger. But you've given us that warning, and now it's up to us to listen, apply these things to our lives so that we're not deceived, to know the truth, because the truth will set us free from all the lies. And there are lies today, and there will be many more tomorrow and after that, but your truth stands forever, and we thank you for that. And we just ask you, Lord, as we leave here this morning, that we would glorify you in all that we do. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.